You know, last week as I began as pastor, I said, you don't know much about me, and I don't know much about you. Well, we've known each other for a week now, so how do you think how much we know about each other now? Not very much, right? Not much at all. And that's okay, because it's going to take some time. However, in the time of getting to know each other, if you need something from me, you're going to have to tell me. I can't guess what you need. And I can't guess if there's something that you was expecting or wanting from me and I didn't provide it because I didn't know it. Now, I can guess some things, and I will do that. I can see some sadness in people's faces sometimes, and I know that there's hurt or pain or something going on. I can see physically sometimes things happen, and I can guess, and I guess correctly. But most of the time, I can guess incorrect. And I don't want to have to guess. I want you to feel free to let me know what's going on in your life if you need me as your pastor to be there and to share with you. So I'm asking you, please, if something's not happening and I don't respond appropriately, that's because I probably don't know, so please let me know. You see, I define my job as pastor as doing what will help you grow in your faith in Jesus Christ. And I want to be there in your times, experiences of joys and concerns, but my role as a pastor is to see that you grow to be all that God created you to be, so that you can be what God intended for you to be. So what will help you grow in your relationship with God is where I'm going to focus as pastor. That's my primary concern. Now, last week, as I spoke for the first time as your pastor, I just scratched the surface about my view of ministry for the church by giving you a thumbnail sketch. It was just I know I preached way past the hour I was supposed to, but still, I just scratched the surface of what I was supposed to do. I was trying to give you a vision of what I understood for the church, and that vision was that we are called to be a follower of Jesus Christ. That was my whole message. It's Jesus said, come, follow me. And that call for his disciples is the same call for us today, to be a follower of Jesus. Now, I explained or tried to in a brief way to say, as a follower of Jesus Christ, my vision for being a follower, how that impacts what I do, the things I do here at Smith Mountain Lake. What I'm going to do as your pastor, the calls that I make, the reason I do what I do, is how can I help us to follow that vision of following Jesus? And I told you last week, there's going to be things you're going to want to do, and I'm going to say, no, 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 we're not going to do that. Because I don't think that fits into the vision of what it means to follow in Jesus as we're called to do. We could be overwhelmed with trying to do all the church things and would not do them very well. So we're going to have to concentrate and focus on a few things that we can do well that will fall in line with following Jesus. And I want you to suggest things that you think as a church we should do. And I want to listen to that, but at the same time, what I want to do is to try to focus on what can get us being as faithful as possible to following Jesus Christ as a church here. Now, the vision I spelled out, as I've mentioned last week, was on the website that Dave and I have worked to present that so that that will kind of be an outline so that you can see what it means about our vision. And I want to thank Dave because we're still working on that. That's a work in progress. We're nowhere near where we need to be with that, but we're working on it. And I thank him for all of his input and work that he's doing on that as well. So what do I want to do today? In the time I have to share with you in this message, I want to let you know what the steps of growing to follow Jesus would look like. In other words, what does it mean to follow Jesus? How do you do that? Okay, so you have a vision. You want the church to be followers of Jesus Christ. How do you do that? And so I want to spell out, again, in a brief way, what I understand of how you would grow, how you would put into action being a follower of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to do the same thing I did last week. I'm going to give you a chance at the end of the message to ask me questions. And it's going to be only a few minutes. If you do have something that you want to ask, I'm going to allow you to do that, and I'll try to respond the best way I can. But we begin the message today as we did last week. We're going to begin with the Word of God. And we're going to be, for our scripture reading this morning, I want you to listen to the Word of God. I want you to read the Word of God with me. It's going to be John 13, verses 34 through 35. So could we together, in unison, read the Word of God? It says, "A new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." So that is our text this morning about how to be a follower of Jesus Christ. You see how many times Jesus said, you have to love. And it's not a suggestion. It's a command. To be a follower, you have to love. And let me tell you, brothers and sisters, this is the thermometer, this is the gauge to determine whether you're following Jesus. It's how you love. If you love the way Jesus said, now see, this is the hard part of interpreting. What did Jesus mean, how to love? And that's what we're going to look at. But to be a follower of Jesus Christ is to love. Now, I don't know about you, but I do a very poor job of that every day. I pray and I read and I study and I say, God, how can I love my wife the way that I should? Because I know I don't love her the way I should. But I want to do every day to ask that question and see what I can do. Lord, how can I love this church? How can I love its people? What do I need to do to show your love for them? What about the people outside of this building and outside of my family? How do I love the people that God has called me to love? That's the crucial thing. Now, one of the things I also mentioned to you folks that when I have a message, I'm going to have an outline in the bulletin. So if you want to follow along with that, you'll kind of see where I'm headed this morning. And so the first part of that is discipleship is not a program. It's not something that we're just going to put together in some kind of lesson and we're just going to teach you and that's how you're going to learn to follow Jesus. A disciple is a process. And spiritual growth means that you are making progress every day to be more like Jesus. Now, that's what I need to ask you. If people look at you, do they see Jesus in you? You know, Jesus should be able to be seen in what you do, what you say, how you treat people, how you respond to people, how you help people. People should be able to see Jesus in you because of how and who you are. And so, do people see Jesus in you? Well, I pray that in the process every day, you are becoming a little more like Jesus every day. I hope today that on this Palm Sunday that you are a little more like Jesus today than you were a year ago last Palm Sunday. And the year before that, and before that. In other words, I pray that you are growing every year, every month, every day to be more like Jesus. And that's according to your attitudes and according to your thoughts and your actions and your love. You see, life is a journey. And yours is going to be different from mine. I'm not sure when you began your journey of following Jesus. mine actually began way before 12, before I was baptized in Cedar Bluff Church of the Brethren in Franklin County. But that and there was a call to say, what would you exchange for your soul? In other words, if you gain the whole world but lost your soul, what would you have gained in life? What would you give in exchange for your soul? And it was on that, 12 years old, I heard that message. I heard the word of God. It convicted my heart. And I walked up that aisle, and I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I was baptized. Now, I would love to say everything went just peachy. You know, everything was fine. I followed Jesus every day, and I just grew and grew and grew and grew. And it wasn't like that. It was like this. I grew, and I fell, and I grew, and I stumbled, and I did some wonderful things, and I did some awful things. That was the way my journey. But in that fluctuation, it was getting higher, meaning I was growing more like Jesus. Your journey will be different from mine, but there will be some similarities will be the same. And that is, how do we give ourselves to following Jesus? What is it that allows us to grow closer to God? What is it that allows us to become more like Jesus? And what do we do when we fail? When we don't do what God would have us to do? When God is not pleased with what we're doing? How do we overcome that? So your path will be different from mine, but there will be a lot of similarities. But the point is this. We are all be moving toward becoming more like Jesus. You see, God has an incredible purpose for your life this morning. Do you know what that purpose is? Do you know why God created you? Do you know why God has called you here at Lakeside to be a part of this fellowship? Do you understand what it is that God is working in your heart and your life and wanting you to do and to become? God has a purpose for you, and God has a purpose for you being here and being a part of this. Now, what we as a church at Lakeside are going to be about, our purpose is to help you to know how to love the way God has loved you. In other words, we've got some growth steps. These are things, if you will do these will help you to grow to be more like Jesus. That's what it's designed for. It's designed to connect you with that purpose that God has called you to. Now, these steps are to help teach you what it looks like to follow Jesus and how to connect with the church and be a part of that fellowship and how to discover your purpose and to make a difference in your life. So here they are. Here's growth step number one, and that is to be loved. You know, each of us spend our lives on a journey deeply longing to be loved and to love. Did you know that? Did you know that one of the most important things that you can discover in your life is that you are loved and loved deeply, preciously, wonderfully? If you could just know that you have worth and that you are loved, it can change your life. And that is how God changes people's lives. In other words, God created you. This is the thing that you have to understand. When you're wanting to be loved, when you're looking to find some satisfaction, to know that you're loved, is that you will give yourself to people and things and so much just to discover that you are loved. You will give yourself to that. You will seek that out. And you know, when you began to give yourself to something that will truly make a difference in your life and make you feel like you are what God created you to be, when you start looking for
answers to what is the meaning and purpose of life. When you're searching for all of that, do you know what you're doing when you're looking for love and you're looking for answers? You're looking for God. Because that is the only place that can be answered in your life. Only God can help you to understand love, because God is love. God created love. God created you in love, and God can fulfill that love that you desire and you seek in your life, and only through God. But once you start trying to understand how to be fulfilled, that is in God. Many people think, a lot of times, if you talk to people, I was on this trip down to Atlanta, Georgia with my granddaughter this past week. Well, I talked to a lot of people on the bus and people in the on the tour with us and people in the places that we visited. And I find out that a lot of people, they think they're doing just fine without God. You know, but the thing that I've discovered about people is the things they trust in: their money, their health, their beauty, their intelligence, that eventually something comes along that disappoints them in those things. And once it begins to disappoint them and they lose hope in what they thought life was founded upon, these things, what do you do now? And that's when people go to the real questions about life. It's not about money or health or beauty or about intelligence. It's about life. It's about love. It's about meaning. And that's when people discover they need God. They need God in their lives, because it is God who gives them meaning. It's God who gives them purpose. It is God, when they find Jesus, that they discover all the other things they were looking for, but looking in the wrong places. All right. Step number one is to be loved. But here are the five things that I've listed that you would do in going about finding our way to God. You let God love you. In other words, you were created by God to be loved by Him and be in a relationship with Him. And if you're not in that relationship, you are always searching for the deeper meaning of life. Now, one of the things I've had Jessica pass out to you was what I call a faith card, or an invite card, excuse me. And here's one of the things that people need to know. They need to know that God loves them. So I want you, if you see anybody, you run across anybody this week, why don't you just give them a card and say, you know, we'd love to have you come to church Sunday, Easter Sunday, and worship with us. Now, you may not realize this, but this is an act of love. When you're trying to point people to where their deepest longing for life is, it's in God. And on Easter Sunday, there's no greater time to have a celebration of God's love than Easter. So if you want to love somebody, just hand them a card. You don't. It could be a friend, could be a relative, could be a neighbor, could be a stranger. But it's still loving them, because this is what we want you to do. It's a very simple way. Just say, here's the date. I'd love to have you come. Here's some directions, simple, how to find our church, and we'd love to have you come. All right. Steps in finding God to be loved is to let God love you. And this invite card is a simple way to let people know that we love you and that God loves you too. Okay, second thing. You know, if you know that God loves you, this is the wonderful thing. People's lives change when they know that God loves them, because that's what they were created for, is to be loved by God. But once you discover that God loves you, you might look and say, but my life is a mess. You don't know what I've done to my life. I don't know where to start. I don't know where to begin. I don't know what to do about my life. I don't feel worthy of God. I don't even feel worthy that God should love me. So what do? Well, I got a good answer for you. It is in God's love that He is able to start your life over. You know, a lot of people wonder, Can I start over? Can I overcome the mistakes I've made, the way life has made a mess out of me? Can I do something about that? Well, absolutely, because God can remake you. Here's the third thing. All right, so God loves me. God is able to say that my life can start over. What do I do? How do I do that? Now, see, this is the problem. You can't do it yourself. You can't change the mess your life is in. You can't start over by yourself. You need God's help. It's only by God's grace and forgiveness are you able to start over. And the fourth thing is, okay, God loves me. I wished I could start over. I need God's help to help me do that. But why? Why would God do that? You need to have a new identity. You see, you are not what you have done in your life. You are not what path you have traveled. You are what God says you are. And God sees you as His precious child. And God wants to give you something new in your life. God wants to give you what you can't give yourself. God wants to let you know, I see you much different than the way you see yourself. No matter what path you've been down, it doesn't matter what you've done, you are loved because you are my child. I will identify who you are and what you are. Your sins will be removed as far as the east is from the west. And they will be thrown in the sea of forgetfulness because in Jesus, I am going to make all things new in you. So that's how people find their way back to God. Number five, Jesus is the answer. He loves you. He forgives you. He's the one able to do it. He identifies you as His child. All right, step number one. You need to understand the love, the powerful love, the graceful love of God. Here's step number two. Once you understand that you are loved, and brothers and sisters, when people come into this church, they need to know that we love them the way Jesus loved. And how is that? It's not who they are or where they've been or what they've done or where they're at in their journey of life now. What it is that we love them because God loves them. And it is in God's love that He can change and they can have a different kind of life just like we do. So when people come here, no matter who they are, what they've done, we love them the way Jesus loved them and let God do the rest to transform and change their life. All right, that's step number one, to be loved. Once they are loved, the second growth step is to belong. No one is meant to be alone. You were created to belong to each other. You were created to be a part of God's creation, to be a part of His family. Belonging is a basic need that you and I are driven by. We need each other. We need to be wanted. We need to be loved. Whether you're aware of it or not, you truly desire to belong and to feel loved and part of something greater than yourself. And so that's what we want Lakeside Church to do. We want our church to become a family to let people who come through those doors that they belong to something greater than themselves, something greater than us. They belong to God. And so the steps for connecting to the church and to belonging are these. First is following Jesus in baptism. I think once you know that God loves you and that God can change the mess in your life and that God can make you new, the first thing that you should do in order to follow Jesus is to be baptized. In other words, Jesus, when He came to start His ministry, He went into the water with John the Baptist. John said, no, I don't think I should be baptizing you. You're greater than I. You ought to be baptizing me, not me, you. And Jesus said, no, we're going to do what the Word says, and we're going to fulfill all righteousness. We're going to obey God, And that is that you need to baptize me. John said, well, okay, but I don't understand why we're doing it that way. And a lot of times people don't understand why they should be baptized after they are following Jesus Christ. It's because that's what obedience means. It means that you identify that Jesus Christ, I have given my life to him, and I am going to follow the ways of God. That's what baptism means. It's an outward declaration of what has already happened in your heart. So the first thing we're going to ask people once they become part of their growth here in the church in belonging is to be baptized. And then after you're baptized, the second thing is worshiping together. Worship is a time to connect with God, a time to connect with each other. It's a time, hopefully, that I'll be able to share with you a message that will say this. I want you to be quiet. I want you to be still from all the noise outside, all the things you busyness you have to do, all the things that you're responsible for. I want you to be quiet. And know that I am God. Worship is that purpose. It's to be still from all the things that we have to do and to recognize that God has called us to hear his word, to hear his spirit, to hear his call. And be still and know God. And I pray that in that time that I will be able to bring a message through the inspiration of God that will help you in your faith journey. That will help you make one small step, maybe, further in following Jesus. And that's why it's important to worship together each week, because we need that quiet, still time in God's Word. And the third thing is, after that, worshiping, being baptized, worshiping together, is to be committed to become a member of the church. We become what we belong to. We become our time and our energy and our passion, they drive us to be what we are. But it defines who we are. And so being committed to the church as a member, that is what we began to belong to. That will help us understand that God is using that for our spiritual growth. God is using that so that we become more like Jesus. The fourth thing is forgiving those who have hurt you. Here's the upside down kingdom of God. Is that Jesus and God in teaching what life is, it's different than how we would define it. In other words, Jesus said, love your enemies. That doesn't make sense. Just trust me. When people are shooting at you, when people are harming you, when people are doing harm to you, it doesn't make sense to love them. Jesus said, do that. Jesus said a lot of things that don't make sense. It says, if somebody slaps you on one side of the cheek, what should you do? Slap them back? You've done that before, I bet you. I have. Jesus says, turn the other cheek. That's upside down. That doesn't make sense. Why do that? Because God's ways are not man's ways. And so this is one of the things you have to understand, that when you become a follower of Jesus and you've been baptized and you become part of the church family and you're worshiping together and you have been committed to be a member, then the next step is that there are people who have hurt you in life. And you need to forgive them. To extend the grace and the undeserved grace of forgiving others who have hurt you. I have, as a pastor, have seen families that have been torn apart and for years won't even speak to each other. Now, the bad thing about that is that it does harm to you. It's like a cancer that's slowly, silently eating you up inside. Forgiveness is not just for the other person. Forgiveness is for yourself. Scripture says over and over, God will forgive you according to how you forgive. others, the upside down kingdom. In order to be forgiven, you must forgive others. So here's the third thing. First step in our growth is to be loved. The second is to belong. The third is to grow in spirit. Growth is never by accident. Spiritual growth is intentional. And building your life to honor God isn't a one-time decision. It's a lifelong commitment to honor Him in all ways. Learn to live a life that honors God, living and striving to be more like Jesus. I'm putting my watch up here because I realize I'm out of time. Do you know what it means when a pastor takes his watch off and lays it down? It means absolutely nothing. But I'm going to go through these steps real quick. I would feel badly to have to go through so quickly, except you're going to be hearing a lot about this. So this ain't the only time you're going to hear this. And so I'm not worried that this won't get to you. Here's the things you do for growing in spirit. Read the Word of God. I don't know if you read the Bible every day, but you should. And I say should. I know that's a harsh word. You should for this reason. Reading the Word of God is not just a book about God. The Bible is God's Word to us. In other words, the Bible is full of revealing who God is. And so to read the Bible, it's not reading about God, it's being in God's presence and understanding and having the Spirit to help us know God. The second thing is praying with heart. In other words, you need to pray often. Paul said pray without ceasing. Pray all the time. It's communication with God. The third thing is loving by obeying. Now, if you want to love God, how many of you love God? You don't have to raise your hand, but if you want to, you can. We would probably all raise our hand and say we love God. Well, how do you love God? You obey Him. You obey His commandment. You obey what He teaches. Loving God is obeying Him. If you love me, Jesus said, you will obey me. And so that's crucial to life, is to be obedient to God. Now, I don't know about you, but I struggle with that every day. I struggle with being totally obedient to Christ. Now, I've learned not to beat myself up on that. I've learned to grow in that. And that's what I want us to do. Here's the fourth thing. We are to be giving with thanksgiving. In other words, all that we have, all that we that belongs to us, belongs to God first. And we need to give ourselves to God. We need to give our time to God. We need to give our money to God. We need to give our talents to God. We need to give our love to God. And in all things, be thankful for that, for what God has allowed us to be stewards of. All right, here's the fourth step. It's to serve. First, you're to be loved by God and allow God to love you, to belong and to share in the church family. Third is to grow in spirit by intentionally doing that, which will help us to grow. And the fourth thing is to serve. I think most of us want to make a difference in life. We want to make a difference in the hearts and lives of people who are hurting. God has gifted each one of you with special gifts that you can touch people's lives. And we together as a collective body will be the hands and the feet and the mouth and the eyes and the love and the heart to reach and to touch people. God's designed you and me as we come together to be a body. I can't do it alone. You can't do it alone. That's the reason we need the church. Because as a church, as a body, we can reach out and touch and help others. We do that by serving. Loving God means loving people. So, here's the four steps. I'm going to just close with those steps right there. Becoming like Jesus. As a believer, your life should begin to look more and more like Jesus. That's how I started this message. So I pray today that you look a little more like Jesus than you did yesterday or the month or the year before. Continue to work at that. Becoming more like Jesus every day. Second thing, caring about the brokenhearted. You know, there are a lot of people in this community that I know, they're struggling with poverty, they're struggling with addiction, they're struggling with broken relationships, they're struggling with all kinds of sinful things in their lives, and they are broken. And we need to care about that brokenness, and in that caring, that we need to reach out and to serve those in that brokenness, to let them know about the love of God, to experience the love of God. Third thing, you remember Jesus said, love the Lord your God. Here's the most important thing. In other words, if you're going to love God, you're going to obey his commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. That's the greatest commandment, Jesus said. And so to love God is to obey him in that. But then he said, well, you know, there's a second one just as important. Love your neighbor as yourself. Ooh, that one's hard. I love myself. I provide a lot of things for myself. I take care of myself. I'm not so sure I take care of my neighbor that way. I'm not sure if I love my neighbor that way. But Jesus said that is something that we should do. It's the greatest thing, second greatest commandment that we should do to show our love for God is to love our neighbor. And then the fourth thing that I want to close with is telling others the good news. You know how you tell other people about Jesus Christ? You know how you witness to people? You love them. You love them the way God loved you. You're graceful to them. You're forgiving to them. You're caring about them. That is the witness. That is where people began to ask, what is it about you that makes you tick different than others? Well, what is it? It's the love of God.